You've heard the passage over and over again, but I want us to just look at it tonight in a special way. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, this is not an option. This is a fact of what Jesus is saying here. And that he says, you are the light of the world. Not lights in plural, but light in singular. Because you see, that light that we become when we ask God to forgive us and to save us by the blood of Jesus, that light is our Lord and Savior. And we're that light, which sometimes we call the gospel, the good news. This world is enwrapped in darkness, darkness of sin, of hatred and jealousy and pride, and all of the ungodly deeds are carried on in the darkness of this world, in the ignorance of this world. And it needs light, understanding, compassion, love. And that's only in the light of God. And that's what the world needs today, is to have this light. And it's not an option with us. We are the light. Whether you want to be or not, once you become a child of God, you are a light. You're to proclaim and you're to let others see through your life and your actions and all that you do the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the enlightenment of the truth that this whole world and this universe didn't just come about through a big bang. We know how it got here, by our Creator. And that we have forgiveness of our sins, not because of what we might do, but because of what God has done for us through His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can't have love without the light. You can't have forgiveness without the light. You cannot understand any of the things of the world without the light of God. And we are the light of the world. Now, the problem is not that we are no longer a light. The problem is what we do with that light. And Jesus mentions that the fact about the light is like a city that's set on a hill. It cannot be hid. And we're a light that's going to be shining one way or the other. And then he mentions in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Now, under a bushel would mean that we try to hide the light. And sadly to say, many of God's children are trying to hide the light. They don't want people to know that they're a child of God. I'm amazed that the country that has slipped me now, where they are persecuting the Christians and killing them and running them out. Where's that? Iraq. Those Christians there, they're not hiding the light. They're not putting it under a bushel. And for them to let the light shine, it means their life. They've got to move. They've got to get out. Or they die. That is there. In America, we try to work out a way that nobody knows we're Christian. And you don't have to work too hard at that. Just not serving God will bring that, but you're still the light. It might not shine as bright as it should there. But we are to put it on a candlestick. Why on a candlestick, you know? Well, we normally would take that literally and talking about, well, being on a candlestick, it's going to be up, and so the light can, everybody can see it in the room. It's not going to be under a table or something. It's going to be on a candlestick up there. But also that word candlestick has a symbolic meaning, a spiritual meaning. And that meaning is found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. In Revelation chapter 1, we find that John gets to see Jesus in all of his majesty. John saw him as one who was born of a virgin, saw him as one who walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, and men spit upon him and rejected him. He saw Jesus as one who was a lamb for the slaughter, one who gave his life and was crucified and was buried. He saw him as the risen Savior. Now John sees him in Revelation as the Almighty God. And my, what a blessing it is. And as he sees Jesus in all of his glory, he sees him standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And in his right hand are seven stars. Well, these are symbolic meanings. And we have in Revelation 1 the interpretation of that. Look at verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so when Jesus said that we're to put our light on the candlestick, the best way for the light to shine is through his local churches. Now, we've got people in the churches, not just outside. We've got people in the churches that are fighting the church. They really don't want to have a church. Really don't want to do it God's way. They want to make it an entertainment center. They want to make it this and that instead of really being what it is. The best way for the light to shine in our world is through the local churches. And man, what an opportunity we have. You are the light, and you are on the candlestick in a local church. And so then we have a choice. Now, we're light whether we like it or not. In verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." We're not to be ashamed. Man, I'm not ashamed to tell anybody that I'm a Christian. And I'm not ashamed to do that which would identify me as a Christian. I've often thought about it, and the Lord really, I pointed out in my life, I was wanting to advertise the ministry that God had given me about the internet. And God is blessing that tremendously. I mean, it is really just phenomenal what God is doing there. And so I decided, well, I'll put it on my van. And so I've got the letters on the back windows of my van and advertising the fact of a free Bible study on the internet and how to get a hold of me. And then it dawned on me. Wherever you drive that van, they're going to know you're there. It's not a matter of just knowing that I drive a particular automobile, but people who don't even know what automobile I drive, they're going to see that sign and wherever it's at. Now, before I put that on there, I did have somebody come up and jokingly, one of my members, and always they're the best ones to poke you a little bit, said, "I saw your van at the beer hall." I said, "Not my van." And, oh, yeah, it was silver, and it was a Honda Odyssey. Well, there was more than one Honda Odyssey in the community. Well, I got news for you now. They can't claim that one. My van's going to have the fact that it's mine. There's no question about it. And I've gone into be in restaurants or in some place. Somebody will come in looking around, and they'll spot me. Why were they looking for me? Well, they saw my van outside. We're to let our light shine. Now, I didn't put it for that purpose. I was just putting it for the purpose of getting people to see the internet deal. But, you know, we need to live our life that way where no one has to second guess who we are and what we are. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." Now, Brother Pat has brought it out each last Sunday, this Sunday. John is doing it on Wednesday night as well and bringing out the fact of how dark this world is, how evil it is today, all over the world, here in the United States and all around the world. We're seeing that in the nations that we're in conflict with now, in the Arabian nations, but it's in other nations. In China, they are destroying the churches that have a cross on it. And then even in the cities where and universities where they were allowing certain religious activities. And even in where I was having a class with Skype, we couldn't have over 10 people. If it got over 10, they were shutting it down. And sometimes I believe some of the problems we're having with our connection there is due to those who don't want us to get across or want to persecute and to hinder the work that is being done there. But that's not only true in China, it's true here in America. We've got things going on now in America that I never believed would happen here. And of all places in America, I never thought we would have the conflicts that we're having now and the persecution that is coming now stronger and stronger. It's been subtle, but now it's getting bolder and stronger here in America. How could that happen in America? For you see, in America, we have a lot of lights of God. We have Christians who have the light. We've got churches on every corner. We've got all kinds of Bible studies and Bible classes all over America. How could what's going on now happen in America? One of the things is that many of God's children who are the light of the world have put a bushel over their head. They put a bushel over their life. They don't want to be known in the community as to their standing anymore. They don't want to take a stand. And when we turn the light off, then darkness comes about. Evil will reign stronger and stronger, and that's exactly what's happened. We can't blame others. We have to look in the mirror and see what's happening to us as the light of the world. We're wringing our hands down and say, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to change things in this world? How are we going to get America back to where it was? The answer to it is to be the light. Very simple, to be the light. How can we do that? Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. How can we allow the light to shine in our life that it would affect others, that it would neutralize the darkness round about us, especially in our world, in our nation, and around the world? The very first statement, and most of the times when we read this passage, they don't want to read verse 14. But it's an important key to how the light shines. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Wow. Think about that. Think about what's going on in your circle of the church. Think about what goes on when we get in fellowships and have meetings with other churches. Used to be that we had in the Baptist Messenger the attendance. It was in Sunday school of all the different churches. And that was a great witness and testimony. And then we got to noticing, and some of them began to bring out the fact that, well, this church just had a revival, and it was advertised that they had a revival, and their attendance hadn't changed at all. Well, that's a negative response, not a positive deal in that. And then they begin to, well, my church is better because I've got more attendance than that church over here or that church over there. It became a negative response instead of a positive encouragement to other churches round about. And then as we really take a good close look, and we're afraid to admit it because we're found guilty ourselves of the murmuring and disputings that goes on from our own life. I mean, God's got his finger on what the problem is. We might want to blame something else. But what would happen if all of God's children were positive and loving? You talk about the light shining. I mean, it would be bright throughout. Of being positive and stepping out in what God is doing and what God will do with us. Now, here's the reason for that. Let's read verse 14 again. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that, here's the reason for it, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. For years I would read that and I would think of Russia. I would think of some other nation that won't allow any type of Christianity in their borders or anything else. But now when I read that, my heart breaks because I see America and where we've gotten to. Because we as Christians went from being positive and encouraging and loving to disputing and murmuring. Our questions and some of our battles ought to be over not that we would send missionaries out, but we need to send more missionaries out. Or that we would have ministry to our children and whatever the cost would be. But that's not our decisions in our churches anymore. We're more engaged in physical things of our church, whether it be the carpet, whether it be the pews, and what shape they're in, what position they're in, or whether it be whatever else is in there. We need to wake up and see why the light is not shining. See the type of bushel that we've put over our lives and our church and what needs to be done. Then it goes on in verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. When we want to be positive and stand out in faith, we're going to have to do that with the word of God. Brother Pat's been emphasizing that, and he emphasized again this morning of how important that we are in the word of God. Brother John's been doing that on Wednesday night, and we need to emphasize this over and over again. And I praise God for the Sunday school teachers that we have in our church that are teaching the Word of God, who dig in the Word of God, and who live the Word of God. But we need to even do it more so and stronger in that. And where we'll not apologize for it, we'll not back off of it, but we'll quit murmuring and complaining and let the light shine brightly. I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. And I didn't look all that hard. I probably could have found one. Maybe ask one of y'all. I wanted to find two coal oil lanterns. You know what I'm talking about. And where you have a wick in there and the coal oil's in the bottom of it, then you have the globe on the outside and you set the fire on that, the fire in there to trim it just right. If you don't trim it just right, it'll smoke up the inside of the globe that is there. And though the light might be the same as one that's in a clean globe, but it's not as bright because of the soot that's inside of that. And that's what's happening in many of our churches today. That's what's happening in our lives. We've compromised and we've allowed these other things to cover up a bushel that we're putting over the light that is there. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. How can we let the light so shine before the world? Well, first of all, quit murmuring and complaining and get busy with the Lord and be positive. Secondly, in Romans chapter 13, realize the seriousness of the hour in which we live. Many of our people are not taking what's going on now very serious. Oh, it'll work out. It'll come out okay in that. It's not going to work out. It's not going to come out okay unless the light shines. Time's not going to heal it. It's a light that heals it. It's God that does the work in it. So in verse 11 of Romans 13, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. First of all, we're to realize the seriousness of the hour in which we live. How serious it is in America. America is not the beacon for the nations of the world anymore. And we need to get that light shining again. And the only way America can be that beacon of freedom for a world is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the light. And if we've turned the light off, they have no hope. We're to realize that seriousness, and then the night is far spent. Man, it's getting darker. And we need to realize the day is at hand. It's time for Jesus to come. Now, we would look at that and we say, well, praise the Lord, man. I'm excited about Jesus coming. That's great. But also, as children of God, we need to realize, hey, the time is short, and I've got friends that are going to die and spend eternity in hell. I've got neighbors that's going to go to hell. I've got business people, those whom I meet daily, that are going to spend eternity in hell. The time is short. I don't have time to wait around. We need to wake up and realize that. We need to put on the armor of light. That's to let the light of God shine without any hindrance whatsoever on our part, without messing it up by the way we conduct ourselves or carry on. One of the Chinese students said, how can I really know that Christ is in me? Was really concerned about it. I said, because there's times when I sin and do things that are wrong, and if Christ is in me, I shouldn't be doing that. See? How would you explain the answer to that? Yes, we have that choice. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. But you see, God's given us the choice whether we will do our will or His will. Whether we'll let the light shine or do our will and put a bushel over it. That's our decision in that. We need to realize the day is at hand. It's time for Christ to come and put on the armor of light. In verse 13, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I was so proud of Aaron this morning, long as God's called him to preach, stepping out in faith to do that. He knew, and he made arrangements to go to the seminary, which his heart's desire, and make some preparation and do what God would have him to do. And then having a family, and that family growing, having an income for that family. Now, that's quite a step to step out in faith when you have nothing in front of you and you're leaving everything behind you. And so he took that step to begin with. Yes, I'm going to go, but I've got to sell my house. And that was good and well, so he waited on for the house to be sold. Time went along, house not sold. And then he testified this morning and said, God told me to go ahead and pack. Whether the house sold or not, go ahead and pack. They said, you're going to step out a little stronger in faith. And when he took that step, within that week, the house was sold. That's the light that needs to shine. That needs to happen in all of our lives, whether in our jobs, whether in our activities, or whatever is there, that we will put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh. We will step out and do what God would have us to do, teach what God would have us to teach, regardless of what others might say or do. We need to let the light shine. Let your light so shine that others may see. And then we find in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. How do we let the light shine? Well, we quit murmuring and we put on the armor of light, realizing the seriousness of the day. And then we're to walk as children of light. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Reminding us where we were in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, I don't care. I can offend you. No, I don't really don't want to do that. Some of you might be love Elvis Presley. But that got into my crow some time ago. And that's one of my pet peeves is about Elvis Presley. How that they have glorified and magnified him to no end. And when you look at his life and all that went on in that, I don't see how in the world that could be done. But nevertheless, And so I just don't want to have anything to do or have anything that reminds me of him in the actions and all. I went to a pastor's fellowship here in this association back in the 60s and went to that fellowship. It was a Christmas fellowship for all the pastors of this association. I take it back. It wasn't an association. It was one, I was thinking it was a little earlier than that, one over in Wynnewood, Paul's Valley Association. And so we met at a particular place for this fellowship. And one of the pastors was to entertain us, help us spiritually. And he came out dressed like Elvis Presley. I never was so disappointed in all my life. In fact, I just got up and walked out. My wife said, "Oh, no, don't sit here. Don't get up." I said, "No, I can't take this. I'm getting up and walking out." Well, of course, the next meeting we had, people was asking me why. I said, "If we're going to walk like anybody, it ought to be Jesus. Not Elvis Presley, not anybody else. I don't care. Even you might find a good singer. We need to walk as children of the light." Take that home to you now of some of the things you might be doing. Might not be as strong in that or as evident as that, but how are you really walking? Are you walking the way the world wants you to walk? Are you wearing the styles that the world wants you to wear? Are you using the vocabulary that the world wants you to use? Or are you going to walk as children of the light? Now notice this. Let's look at that again, verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Proving, when we walk as children of the light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Not what is acceptable to the crowd. Not what is acceptable to the time in which we live. Sometimes I cry out against what's going on and said, "Oh, that's just the fashion of the day." I don't care what's the fashion of today, tomorrow, or in the future. We need to prove what is acceptable to God, not what might be acceptable to man in this. In verse 11, "having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved and are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light." Now, you can take this a couple of ways. In verse 11, "have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Man, I was ready to put on the boxing gloves and get up and fight against alcohol, fight against drugs, fight against gambling in this, and don't beat around the bush. Call a spade, sin, sin. I mean, really get up and reprove it. But then there's the other side of that coin. Look at it in that verse 12. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." I said, "Now, where's the balance, Lord? If I'm going to reprove it, I got to call it out." But there's some things you don't call out in that. It's a shame even to speak it. And now the language that's going on in our society today in America, I mean, it's shameful and ungodly. We need to turn on the light. Now, how do we do that? By the way we live. I don't have to say a word about gambling. I just don't have to gamble. When I don't gamble or support anything of gambling, that reproves it. Drinking, anything else that might be going on. Sometimes our action speaks louder than our words, amen? And we need to let the light of Christ shine in our actions as well as in our voice. But sometimes the voice, now I'll have a lady come to me, her wife, and she's having trouble with her husband. He's not very godly and all, and she'll go home and preach the message that I just preached to him. And then she'll come back and talk to me and tell me, "Boy, he just gets mad in a hornet's nest." I said, "Well, he ought to." I said, "You don't need to preach it to him. You need to live it. When you quit preaching and start living it, that'll make a difference in his life." And that's true with anyone that we deal with. We've got to walk the talk. We've got to let the light be in our actions and our daily activities. And so in verse 13, but all things are that are reproved are manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Man, what a blessing. What an opportunity we have. Now, we are in that darkness, and we need to let that light shine. Now, when everything was going good, we didn't have to lock our doors. We didn't have to worry about taking the keys out of the car. Man, you could just leave things alone and go about because everybody was pretty well honest. Oh, we still had some thieves and others. But the light was so strong that anything that was wicked really hid and didn't want to be exposed at all. It was easy then to be a light. But now when wickedness is bold and on every hand, to be a light now puts a little bit of a threat on our life from the world. But who is greater, the world or God? Who is greater, the Holy Spirit or the spirits of the evil spirits out there? I tell you, God is. And they need to see our faith in God and putting our lives on the line for the truth of God's word, not only in what we teach, but how we live day by day. And so we're to live Christ. And so back in Philippians again, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Verse 15. Philippians 2 and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom shine as lights in the world. This afternoon, while I was making the videos of our class this morning and getting the formats done on that, and the process of that, I have a little spare time, and I noticed on the internet in the news section an article came on about the 10 wickedest states in America. Well, that struck my attention, and I began to look at that. I was surprised at some of the states that were mentioned there. And if you have a chance, you need to go look that up that's involved in it. Oklahoma wasn't in the top 10 list. Now, praise God for that. But it's neighbor to one. And so in the neighborhood, not just direct neighbor, but in the neighborhood, close to one on that. So we need to let the light shine. What our world needs is to see our faith in Christ and living the life. Jesus told us that we are the light and that we are to let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We can turn this world around right now if every believer would take the bushel off and let the light shine. How is your light? Are you still murmuring, complaining, carrying a grudge? Or are you going to let the light shine? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, Father, we just want to thank you that you've given us a task that we cannot do, but you can. One that's critical, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our family, in the lives of our church, in the lives of our city, in the lives of our state, in our nation, in our world, that we are the light. We're to give understanding. We're to give hope and assurance only through Jesus Christ. Love and compassion and forgiveness. Oh, Father, help us to remove the bushel that we put over the light and let it shine. You've spoken to our hearts tonight. May we be obedient to your word during this invitation and do what you would have us to do and let the light shine. For it's in Jesus' name I pray and for his glory. God has spoken.